Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
He's at last found the situation he needed to be truly free with his music. Everybody, welcome to Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I'm going to welcome you to this episode of our podcast. It is the concluding episode of the Albums of 1975 week. Hope everyone has been enjoying it. Try to make it as enjoyable as possible while going back 50 years to flip through some of these incredible records that came out in that landmark musical year. And for our concluding episode today, I picked out three of my favorites that I want to talk about from the year 1975. But before we do, I want to remind everyone that the deadline for October new music picks is this weekend. That's right. Try to get your picks in by the 16th of November if you can, and we'll get them all queued up. We're going to start new music next Monday, the 17th. So this weekend, get in your October new music picks, and we'll have a great week next week listening to all the new music picks, won't we? Yes, we will. All right. I have a very long list of albums that I compiled before recording these episodes, and it was something like 360 some albums by the time I was done. So I just want to go through real quick and mention a couple that might have caught my eye or maybe should have been mentioned. And I'll go in order of how my list is, which is by the album title. That's not a way people would normally alphabetize their albums. And to some in the listenership of Rockin' the Suburbs, the filing of albums and the alphabetization thereof is a source of great interest. So let's see what we have here that came out in 1975 that we haven't already mentioned. ABBA put out a self-titled album. The great soul singer Minnie Riperton put out a record called Adventures in Paradise. Rod Stewart put out Atlantic Crossing. Bob Seger's Beautiful Loser came out in this year. The Grateful Dead's Blues for Allah. Mark Bolan's Zip Gun under the name of T-Rex, I believe. Art Garfunkel's Breakaway. That's a record you see in a lot of used bins for some reason. Chicago 8 looks like came out in this year. Come Taste the Band by Deep Purple is another one that came out. Supertramp. Crisis? What crisis? George Harrison's Dark Horse came out. Daryl Hall and John Oates. It looks like a self-titled LP. I don't know if that was their first one or what. Joan Baez had Diamonds and Rust. Styx put out their Equinox album in 1975. Thin Lizzy's Fighting album was released in 75. That's a good platter. A self-titled record by Fleetwood Mac came out in 1975. No, haven't gotten around to mentioning that one at all so far. Forever Michael from Michael Jackson. The progressive rock band Gentle Giant. Anybody remember them? They were kind of obscure. They put out a good record called Free Hand. Peter Frampton put out Frampton in 1975. Van de Graaff Generator put out God Bluff. James Taylor put out Gorilla. Nazareth was Hair of the Dog. That's another one you often see in a lot of used record bins, or at least I come across it like that. Linda Ronstadt's Heart Like a Wheel. Helen of Troy by John Cale came out. High Voltage by AC/DC. Hot Chocolate, self-titled LP. Hotline by the Jay Giles Band. Henry Cow, another sort of progressive band, English group, put out a record called In Praise of Learning. That's quite good. Sparks put out their record Indiscreet. Todd Rundgren with Initiation. John Fogerty put out a self-titled record in this year. I think that was his solo debut. Can put out a record called Landing. The debut album from Casey and the Sunshine Band was released in 1975. Donna Summer's Love to Love You Baby, Main Course by the Bee Gees. How did we not mention Main Course by the Bee Gees? Man Child by Herbie Hancock, an outstanding record. Kansas put out Mosque in 75. Metamorphosis by the Rolling Stones. Really didn't talk about that one too much, but that's a interesting Stones album. Roy Wood put out a record called Mustard. Cat Stevens had an album called Numbers. Nothing Fancy by Lynyrd Skynyrd. That's a good one. One of These Nights by the Eagles came out in 75. There's another one by Minnie Riperton, Perfect Angel. Spinners with Pick of the Litter. Carly Simon with her famous album, Playing Possum. Elvis Presley put out a record called Promised Land. Elvis Presley, yes, was still doing Elvis Presley in 1975. Jefferson Starship, Red Octopus. I believe that record went to number one. Yes, put out the album Relayer. Ride a Rock Horse by Roger Daltrey. Rhinestone Cowboy from Glen Campbell. Richie Blackmore's Rainbow. Come on. Rainbow. Tangerine Dream put out Rubicon. English singer-songwriter Robert Wyatt, I should say. Ruth is Stranger Than Richard. The Kinks with Schoolboys in Disgrace, been mentioned on the podcast before. John Lennon did his Shaved Fish album. The Kinks also had Soap Opera in 1975. Spirit of America by the Beach Boys, released in 1975, according to this list, which I hope is correct since I put it together. Paul Simon, still crazy after all these years. Stephen Stills put out a record called Stills. Bad Company, Straight Shooter. Iron Butterfly, Sun and Steel. Golden Earring with Switch. The Nitty Gritty Dirt Band with Symphonian Dream. Let's see, Weather Report with Tail Spinning. Ted Nugent with his self-titled album, Ted Nugent, came out in 1975. Gary Wright with Dream Weaver was a 1975 release. Hitman by Eddie Kendricks. Oh, Keith Jarrett put out the Clone Concert. Maybe the only record on this list with an umlaut. The Tubes put out The Tubes' self-titled record. There's One in Every Crowd by Eric Clapton. I'm not familiar with that record, I have to admit. Tubular Bells by Mike Oldfield. That was definitely a popular record, we know that. Loudon Wainwright III doing Unrequited. King Crimson released USA. I don't believe we've mentioned Wings, Venus and Mars record, came out in 1975. The Mahavishnu Orchestra, Visions of the Emerald Beyond. Jethro Tull with War Child, Stand on One Leg. Alice Cooper, Welcome to My Nightmare. Will of the Wisp by Leon Russell, the Allman Brothers Band with Win, Lose, or Draw. And Windsong by John Denver. And finally, Aretha Franklin put out a record called You. All right, now let's move into three albums that I would like to discuss. We're going to start out with a record by Richard and Linda Thompson. And the record is entitled Pour Down Like Silver. Came out in 1975. Let me give you a little bit of background on how the Thompsons got to where they were with Pour Down Like Silver. Richard and Linda Thompson first met in, I think, around 1970 when Richard was recording his album, Henry the Human Fly, solo album. And Linda was a backup singer or sang vocals on this record. They met each other, fell in love. They got married in 1972. And in 1973, they recorded I Want to See the Bright Lights Tonight, an absolutely fabulous, fantastic record. It was not released, though, until the year 1974, having to do with a petrol shortage, which led to a vinyl shortage in Britain at the time. They also recorded an album called Hokey Pokey, which was released in early 1975. But importantly, Hokey Pokey was recorded before the Thompsons converted to Sufi Islam in 1974. Hokey Pokey was released in 1975, but it is a pre-religious album. Pour Down Like Silver is the Thompson Sufi Islamic album. From the cover to the stark emotional songs and its gorgeous plaintive sound. The cover, if you've ever seen it, are two close-ups. On the front is just Richard staring sort of into the middle distance, wearing a turban. On the back, Linda also wearing a turban, staring directly into the camera. And the songs just have this magical quality. It's almost, it feels devotional, I guess you could say. And the interesting thing about this is that the Thompsons quit music after the year 1974. 5, basically went on hiatus for about 2.5 years while living in a Sufi Islamic community. This record is packed with just incredible songs. I want to read a little paragraph to you now from a book written by the author Patrick Humphreys. It's a biography of Richard Thompson, and he says, quote, Pour Down Like Silver is a deceptively simple album with a haiku-like style to the songs, a stark and multi-textured quality. With the benefit of hindsight, the record has a feel of finality to it. Thompson only lets rip on an electric guitar briefly during Hard Luck Stories. Otherwise, his moon is serene and beatific. Weary and resigned, his voice sounds like he is going through the motions before he quits living in the material world. Pour Down Like Silver was a coda to Richard and Linda Thompson's island years. From their position as relatively successful performers, they bid the music business adieu without any real pangs of regret. All that was taken care of here on Pour Down Like Silver. The songs are incredibly beautiful, and they're also, at least a couple of the ones that I like the very best, are long songs. There is a song called Beat the Retreat, which is really an incredible tune. Jet Plane in a Rocking Chair is another great one. For Shame of Doing Wrong and Streets of Paradise are all really, really good songs. But let's take a minute and listen to what is probably my favorite tune on this record. And this probably is my third favorite Richard and Linda Thompson album. When I say it's my third favorite Richard and Linda Thompson album, that places it high on the running worldwide, because Richard and Linda Thompson have put out some of my very, very favorite records, especially I Want to See the Bright Lights Tonight and Shoot Out the Lights. And then this one is right there next to them as well, even though I like all of them, and I have all of them, I think. And it's to me, an incredible, incredible record. And it is that mood of serenity and finality and wistfulness that you don't really get on a lot of music. And it still holds up wonderfully today, I believe. Dimming of the Day is my favorite song on this record. And it is compiled with a little bit of an instrumental near the end of it called Dargai, but that's a total of about 7 minutes. But let's listen to a little of the build-up here on Dimming of the Day from Pour Down Like Silver from Richard and Linda Thompson.
You at the dimming of the day.
All right, if you don't own Richard and Linda Thompson's Pour Down Like Silver, I definitely recommend that you beat a path to the record shop and add it to your collection. One of my very favorites from the Thompsons, and also one of my very favorites from 1975. Here's another one of my favorites from 1975. It is not only an incredible record in the year, it's also one of the greatest reggae records ever made. And I'm not the only one who says that. There's a lot of experts out there who do as well. It's Burning Spear and their third LP, Marcus Garvey. Without giving an entire history lesson here, Marcus Garvey was a Jamaican political activist. He was the founder and first president general of the Universal Negro Improvement Association and African Communities League, through which he declared himself provisional president of Africa. Garvey was ideologically a black nationalist and pan-Africanist. His ideas came to be known as Garveyism. He received praise for encouraging a sense of pride and self-worth among Africans and the African diaspora amid widespread poverty, discrimination, and colonialism. In Jamaica, he is recognized as a national hero, the first person to be recognized as such. His ideas exerted a considerable influence on movements such as Rastafari, the Nation of Islam, and the Black Power movement. Marcus Garvey was a huge inspiration, obviously, to Burning Spear. And Burning Spear is made up of three main vocalists on the Marcus Garvey LP. And that is backup singers Rupert Wellington and Delroy Hines, backing vocals and harmony singing, and the leader of Burning Spear. His name is Winston Rodney, but he often goes by Burning Spear or Spear. But Winston Rodney is the central figure. I came across an article in a magazine called Wax Poetics, and it was written by Stephen Burkholder. And it pointed me toward some quotes from a book written by David Katz. David Katz was the author of a book called A Solid Foundation, An Oral History of Reggae. Winston Rodney says, what Burning Spear says about Marcus Garvey is, I went out there to see if there was anyone singing about Marcus Garvey, but no one was really hitting that point musically. So I decided to get into that. I think the message from Garvey really stands out, not only for me, but for a lot of other people. I think Garvey did have a strong plan, and if more people did pay attention to Garvey and his work, it's possible things would be more easier for folks like we today. More people has forgotten Marcus and his philosophy and his doctrine because people get carried away, Rodney said in the book. The first time I ever heard this record was after seeing a friend of the crowd I was hanging around with. There was a band who played down where I was hanging around playing music called The Cows, and they were a white reggae band. They were playing at a college, but they did an amazing cover of Slavery Days from Burning Spear. And the first time I heard them play that, I said, what is that song, man? It's amazing. I've never heard it before. And they told me about Burning Spear and Marcus Garvey. And the first time I dropped the needle on the first side of that record, I was completely mesmerized by this record. It's just a super powerful reggae album that feels so dialed in to a philosophy, and I can't get enough of it then, and I couldn't get enough of it today, if that makes any sense.
Marcus Garvey words come to pass. Marcus Garvey words come to pass. Can't get no food to eat. Can't get no money to spend. Whoa. Can't get no food to eat. Can't get no money to spend. And you, hello. Come, little one, come. Whoa. Let me do what I can. For you and you alone. Whoa. You know the right and do eat night shall be spanked with many stripes.
That was the opening song, Marcus Garvey. Now, I should tell you briefly that Burning Spear put out two records before Marcus Garvey. The first one was on Studio One that they did with Coxone Dodd. And then they did another one called Rocking Time. Those were 73 and 74, respectively. I came across an article on a site called You Discover Music, written by Reggie Mint and Charles Waring, and they say this, quote, Rodney's previous work at Studio One had been fine as far as it went and was retrospectively much loved. But here, on Marcus Garvey, he sounds fired up, like he's at last found the situation he needed to be truly free with his music. Rodney gets the credit for the magical arrangements, but accolades must go to Jack Ruby, Rooney's local sound man on Jamaica's North Coast. Ruby was born Lawrence Lindo in St. Anne's Bay, and he took his controversial stage name from the man who murdered Lee Harvey Oswald. Ruby had a catalytic effect on Burning Spear's music, steering them in an uncompromising roots reggae direction that was defined by deep grooves and jabbing horn lines, framing vividly etched portraits of ghetto life while exploring socio-political issues alongside themes of revolution and Rastafarianism. The production gives Spear's creativity room to move amid exemplary playing from some of reggae's greatest musicians. The results are close to perfection. Doubtless the aim was not just to make a fabulous record, it was for Spear to put across his Rastafarian beliefs and draw attention to the philosophy of Marcus Garvey. From the opening line of the title track, Spear is intent on putting across Garvey's relevance to the modern port in Jamaica and is asking why, on old Marcus Garvey, other black nationalists and philosophers are remembered and eulogized when the founder of the Black Star Line, Garvey, goes unmentioned. I will encourage you strongly to listen to Burning Spear's Marcus Garvey. If you like any kind of roots reggae music at all, if anything grabs you when you hear the power of reggae music, this will do the same. I promise you. I was just starting to get into reggae music when I started getting into Burning Spear, and of course I had done my homework on Bob Marley and other artists. I was slowly dipping my toe in, but I really got a slap upside the head of enlightenment when I heard this roots reggae from Burning Spear. And this is the song that the band I saw did, and this is the song that has become my all-time favorite Burning Spear song, therefore also placing it high on the ranking worldwide. Here is Slavery Days from Burning Spear.
Pull it, we pull it.
All right, folks, finally, we've come to the end of the albums of 1975. We've flipped through every one in the stack, and I have saved one for the very, very end. Oh, I just, it's one of those ones that I listen to so much and I like so much that it becomes very difficult to try to talk about it and express it. So I'll try not to overdo it. But I will tell you that Brian Eno released an album called Another Green World in 1975. It's an absolutely incredible album. Brian Eno put out a series of pop-ish albums starting in 1974 with Here Come the Warm Jets. In 1974, also very late in the year, and some people actually credit this as a 75 album, but it was late 1974, Taking Tiger Mountain by Strategy. Another Green World came in 75 and finished up the four quartet of Eno popish albums with Before and After Science in 1977. So that's an essential set of records for anybody to put in their collection, all four of them. And in between was a record called Discreet Music, where Brian really started to get into his ambient sound a little deeper than he had. And here is Brian Eno doing Another Green World. There's a picture of Brian Eno on the back of this album, shirtless, reading a book. And my memory of this album was when I read about it and I wanted to get it. It must have been in the Rolling Stone Record Guide or somewhere like that. I know that one of the older employees at the record store where I was working at the time turned me onto this or found it for me. I think it was actually in our cutout bin, and I may have paid 99 cents for it, which is kind of hard to believe now. But I would put it on a cassette tape, and at the time, I was just a couple of years out of high school. I was sort of floating between academic pursuits and musical pursuits. And I was living with my moms, and we had a patio. And every morning, or maybe not morning, every noon when I would sort of roll out of bed, I would take this cassette tape I had, put it in my portable cassette player. I would go outside on the porch and hopefully in the sun, it was the summertime, I'd take off my shirt, get some sun, read a book, and listen to Another Green World by Eno. And then I did this for, I don't know, weeks and weeks on end, man. And the album just had this kind of mystical floating quality to it. It's almost like lava that it seeps into your ears and just drips down all over you for every second that the magical platter is on. But yes, folks, in one of my all-time favorite albums, on the very first track, it's Phil Collins behind the drum kit. He also plays on several other cuts on this record. So I will say, I don't hate everything Phil Collins has ever done. This is obviously his best work here, is on Another Green World, without a doubt. Phil doesn't actually play on the song Saint Elmo's Fire, but it is a lot of Robert Fripp helping out Brian Eno here. So let's hear a little bit of that right now.
Tired. We had walked and we had scrambled through the moors and through the briars, through the endless blue meanders in the blue August moon, in the cool August moon. Over the nights and through the fires, we went surging down the wires, through the towns and on the highways, through the storms in all their thundering. The blue August moon, in the cool August moon. Then we rested in a desert where the bones were white as tinsel, and we saw St. Elmo's fire splitting irons in the ether. We'll be right back.
Hey, wonderful stuff. There's also a novel out there called Fortress of Solitude, written by Jonathan Lethem. And I don't know if anyone has read it, but I'll tell you, it's a great book. And there's also a ton of music stuff in there. So if you want to read a good novel that has a lot of music stuff, it talks a lot about the early hip-hop scene and punk music in there and stuff. But there's a scene in the book where the main character, whose name is Dylan, has been kicked out of college, and his father has to go pick him up up in Vermont or Maine or somewhere like that and drive him back to New York City. And while they're driving through this incredible heavy snowstorm, and his father is hunched over the wheel, concentrating, and Dylan puts into the tape player a cassette tape of Brian Eno's Another Green World, and sort of his father doesn't say anything for a long time while he's driving, and Dylan says to him, I mean, do you hear this? How great is it? Yeah, I hear it. It's fantastic. It's incredible. And Dylan says, but do you really hear what I'm hearing? Can you hear it the same way I do? And sometimes I feel that way about Eno and Another Green World when I'm trying to convince people or talking like this that, you know, can you hear it the same way I do? Does it mean the same thing as it does to you? But hopefully, with all this that I've said and the tone of my voice, hopefully you understand that it's a really important record for me. And I love it very much, so I want others to love it very much. And if you don't have it, I would strongly encourage you get it while you're out at the store picking up Pour Down Like Silver by Richard and Linda Thompson and Marcus Garvey by Burning Spear. You can get all three, and your 1975 will be much better if you don't have them in your collection. Anyway, I'll stop talking now. Am I still talking? I'll stop talking now and let you get on with your weekend. And I want to wish everybody a happy weekend. I want to say thanks very much for listening to the Albums of 1975 week. And I'm going to take you out with my favorite song on my favorite Brian Eno album from 1975. Heck, it's my favorite Brian Eno album of all of them. Another Green World. This song is called Everything Merges with the Night. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Rosalie, I've been waiting all evening. Possibly years, I don't know. Counting the passing hours, everything merges with the I stand on the beach, giving out descriptions, different for everyone I see. Since I just can't remember, longer than last September. Santiago, under the volcano, floats like a cushion on the sea. Yet I can never sleep here, everything ponders in the
Keith Jarrett put out the Clone Concert, maybe the only record on this list with an umlaut.